This is the national broadcast of Mr. Muhammad Speaks, a program that's dedicated to truth and justice for all people of the earth. And now we present to you with great honor, the Chief Minister of the Nation of Islam, the Honorable W.D. Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I seek refuge with Allah from the rejected enemy.
In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace. Those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Ameen. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
People have been trying to discover that truth that will stand up against all other truth, or against all other knowledge. Man has a natural suspicion in him that makes him revere or fear and worship a being over himself. And we call it God. From the moment we are born, we come under fear. Brought out of the womb of our mothers into this world, we come under fears. We don't know whether the world is going to destroy us or take care of us. We cling to our mother because our mother take us in and care for us and feed us and protect us. So we cling to the mother. And gradually we learn to trust other members of the society. Is that right? But we come into this world with a fear, and we turn to a supreme or to a superior force for protection. We call it God. So, oh God, help me. Oh God, I'm afraid. And this fear gradually develops into what we call religion, our reverence for God and holy things. If we are lucky, this fear won't just remain a fear, like animal fear, but it will develop. Knowledge will develop that fear, and one day we will come to revere God, not as a one trembling, afraid of what the world is going to do, or that death is about to take me. No, we come because we have a desire to, because we love and respect the idea of God, and we want God near us. We want God ruling in our being. So we turn to Almighty God. So this fear now is still part fear, but it's more reverence, it's more love and respect. that is the common animal fear. Is that right? The Holy Quran says, for the true believers, there is no fear, neither fear nor grief. And that's true. The more you incline toward Almighty God, and the more you give yourself to Almighty God, the less fear you have in your nature. And pretty soon, fear is removed completely from your nature. Where do we find in the example that men set, the equal of the example that the prophets of Almighty God set? They come up in the world with no one but themselves and tell the whole world you're going wrong. And gradually get some support, get some members. You don't find that kind of courage except in men that have faith in divine beings. Most of the men who take a position like that, they have already studied the situation and they've come to the conclusion that they have enough support to protect them. But the righteous man will start out with no support at all and tell the world to turn around, you're going in the wrong direction. And many of them lost their lives for doing so. But it didn't stop them. They continued to come one behind another. The world gradually recognized that there was a power in human beings that had to either be accepted or taken over. So man was looking for something. Something to direct his steps. Something to guarantee him a healthy and safe order, our society. And nothing he came up with was a substitute for Almighty God. So from the earliest days to now, God has dominated the lives of human beings. You can go to the communist world, you can go to China, you will find that there, God is dominating the lives of those people. Physically, or maybe even in their mental orientation may be of the order of the world that they're in. But their souls lean toward Almighty God. And when they face death, they don't call on Brezhnev or Mao Zedong. They call on God. Because this is the human being. This is the human being. All right, now let's keep moving with this and see if we can bring you to a peaceful state. If we can, Islam is the religion of peace, and we want peace for everybody. The world needs peace now more than it ever has needed. Quickly now, I want to explain something about these rituals that we have, and then go into some images, imagery in the religion, and hopes that we'll better understand the world that we live in and how it has come to be the world it is. When the Christians sprinkle three times, they are speaking from a knowledge that is common in all religion. And that is this, that the human being is a combination of principles working in him to bring him to maturity. These combinations of principles is the material or the sense principle. From the material world, we come into senses, the five senses. Feeling, tasting, smelling, seeing, hearing. These five senses are born out of the material world. If a human being is to come to life, he must first come to life in his senses. When a baby is born, he is alive in his senses. He has a desire for food, and already smell is alive in him. He can smell the mother's breast. He can distinguish the mother's scent from somebody else's scent. Sight gradually comes, slow coming, but pretty soon, after a few days, the baby is able to see the image, physical image. So we have first developing in us, the first life to develop in us, the five senses. And once we come alive as a sense body in the five senses, then these senses are going to convey to us, are going to transmit to us knowledge. By touching, we are going to learn something. By tasting, we are going to learn something. Likewise with the smell and with the visual eyes. These senses are going to increase us in knowledge. Is that right? And when we become a knowledge form, then we almost become unconscious of our senses. Whereas yesterday, we were very conscious of our senses. The little child is very conscious of his five senses. Is that right? He's feeling things. He's tasting things. He's smelling things, you see. He's listening with attention. But after man and woman get so much knowledge, they listen, but their mind is across the street, you know, or in the tavern, or at home sleep. The body is here, but most of the language is escaping the mind, because this mind is not too much interested now in these things, you see. But the baby, his ear was attentive. And the book says, blessed is those who have an ear. I don't care how old you get, you need to keep that one sense. Keep your ear open. Close your mouth if anything, man, but keep your ear open. So this life begins in the five senses. So the priest, he will sprinkle once. Oh, God, please let this poor soul come alive in his five senses. If he come alive for this first time, he'll have a chance to come alive for the second time. You see? But if you don't come alive in your five senses, you'll never come alive as a knowledgeable being. We got holy people who ignore all the reality in the world and go and fix their whole mind, conscience, and whole being on an idea that they think is foreign to the natural happenings in the world. And by meditation and concentration, they escape the real world. How many of these people are helping society? They can't help society because they don't know society. To help society, you have to live with society. Jesus said, he took his disciples out of the world. Not that they shouldn't live in the world. They have to go back into the world. Is that right? Taking them out of the world means taking them out of the mind of the wicked. But he didn't intend that they live as mystics. He wanted them to go back and walk in the marketplaces with the people, sit with the people, eat with the people, so that you can reach the people and bring them to a better life. This is Islam. Islam say, don't let your righteousness give you a superiority, a sense of some kind of superiority over people, in the sense of holiness, that you think yourself untouchable, that God has made human beings to be a society of angels. He made you to be a society of men. This is the teaching of Islam. If he had wanted human beings to be angels, he would have made them angels. What do we mean by this? People have the idea that an angel is one who does not commit sin. And a human being that desires sex is sinful. The Holy Quran says that God has made you to be angels. If he wanted you to be sexless, he would have made you sexless. If he wanted you to be some being existing without food, without meat, without drink, he would have made you a being that has no desire, no need for food and drink. The Holy Quran say the prophet eat your food, he drink your drink, and he live among you. And he live a human life. And that's the beauty, brother and sister. That's the beauty of human excellence. A man who can be a human being and yet stand on the top and not be touched by those things that are in the gutter. He is really the victorious one. This is the teaching of Jesus, Muhammad, and every other man from Almighty God. No messenger of God came into the world to make the human society a society of angels. All right, let's move on now. The Bible says that God made the man and then caused the man to fall under a deep sleep. And while the man was under a deep sleep, he took a rib of the man and made the man a helpmeet, a woman. And then brought the woman to the man. So the man didn't see the creation of the woman, did he? According to the Bible, he was under a deep sleep. He didn't see the creation of the woman. When the man knew anything, the woman was there. And the woman was his helper. Is that right? What does this mean in common language? It means that society is here when you get here. You don't know how society was made. You have to be taught how society was formed. Is that right? Woman here means the world, our society. When we come here, all of us have to be taught how society was formed. And when we learn how society was formed, we learn this truth, that society came out of man. Is that right? For it was out of man's head, out of man's heart, that society was formed. Now, why does the book say a rib of the man and not a skull bone that would make us think of the head? Because society, when it's naturally formed, is not formed by knowledge. It's formed by the forces of sentiment. We order our world because we don't want hurt and losses to come to us. We want to protect our children. So this is a desire that is moving from the heart that caused man to want to order society. Is that right? The man that has no compassion, has no concern for the people, he's not interested in an orderly society. He wants society to be without order so that he can come in anytime he wants and root and take away what he wants and go on back to his place. But organization will deprive him of that liberty to come in and seize a little lamb and take it back home and eat it. Is that right? So society, men order society because they want to protect the weak. They want to protect what they have. So this desire is more associated with the heart than it is with intelligence. But as the society began to develop, then we find something developing along with that society. First, the society is a small society like your home society. A man and his wife and some children, is that right? A little food in the cupboard and a few chairs. You don't need a police force to protect that. But as the society grows, economic development comes into the picture. Pretty soon, the wealth is so much that you attract mighty beasts to come in and take what you got. Is that right? Now you need a police force. You need an army. Is that right? All right. So when the society began to grow bright in the glow of wealth, then the mind intelligence began to get weak, and it begins to scheme. That wealth is there. How can I get it? You see? So we have in the story of Genesis, the society being formed as an elementary or primitive society. Then it begins to grow. There's an interest in knowledge. So knowledge brings about better ways of growing or increasing the wealth of the society. The society increased in wealth, and pretty soon, there are many societies, many nations, and the wicked mind began to want to take over. Is that right? So the serpent, he wanted to take over. He wanted to take over the society, and also he wanted to take over the spirit, the godly nature in the person. So he wanted to get Adam under his control, Adam, which Adam represents the godly spirit in the people. He wanted that under his control, and he also wanted the society under his control. So he got the man, that is the godly spirit in the society, to come under his control by getting power through the society. Society is weak, like the flesh. Society goes after the things that appeal to the appetite of the flesh. When you go out there and look in the society, in any society, you'll see stores selling the things that your body needs. Is that right? So when we go out into the society, we find people offering our body something. How many times we go into society and find people offering our heart something, or offering our mind something? No, the world offers your body something. So this body is called Eve in the Bible, the senses, the five senses, because the society is of that nature. They want to sell your flesh something. You see? So the wicked mind, that wicked intelligence, scheming for control of the world, wanted to get the society under its power, and in getting its society under its power, it knew in time it would get the godly spirit under its power. Because without help, the godly force in us will get weak. There's an old saying that coals keep their heat when they're with each other. But if you take one coal out from the rest of the coal, pieces of coal, this hot piece of coal will pretty soon cool, right? But when they're all together, they help each other keep their heat. So if you put a man in a world that offers his divine nature nothing, and he can't find company like himself, he's going to get weak and weak. And this is all the Genesis is telling us, is that the wicked mind took over the society and fed the fleshly appetites of the society and neglected or ignored the spiritual appetites of the society. And in doing this, they brought the spiritual man or the godly man under their control. Jesus could meet the devil head on. He could contend with Satan. Why? Because he was pure? No, that's not the only reason. It was because he was wise. He knew Satan. And that's what he told him. He said, I know you. He didn't say, I'm holier than thou. That's why I can handle you. He said, I know you. That's why I can handle you. Is that right? All right. So we have to have both of these forces in us, brothers and sisters. We have to have sincerity, honesty, righteousness, truth, and also knowledge. No matter how much goodness you have in you, no matter how much you incline to be right, if you don't have some sense, you are praying, waiting for the devil. You have to have some sense.
You've been listening to the Chief Minister of the Nation of Islam, the Honorable W.D. Muhammad, speaking to you from Chicago, Illinois. Bilalian News.
Bilal is an outstanding man in the history of Islam. Bilal became the first Muezzin, the first minister of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. And this man was a black so-called African. He was so sincere, his soul was so pure, that Prophet Muhammad and the other leaders under him addressed this man, Master Bilal.
Bilalian News, the newspaper that's dedicated to truth and justice for all people of the earth. Bilalian News, your newspaper that's factual, timely, and essential. Bilalian News covers the four corners of the earth with topics that are vital to the world and to the community. Get Bilalian News at your newsstands or through your Bilalian News representative. Good news, all news, Bilalian News. Tune in next week and every week at this same time over this special network of stations for the national broadcast of Mr. Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.